going to turn, please, in our hymn book this morning to the Psalm number 1 for our opening psalm of praise. You'll find it on the page 5 of the hymn book, just at the very commencement. Psalm number 1, that man have perfect blessedness, who walketh not astray, and counsel of ungodly men, nor stands in sinners' way, nor sitteth in the scorner's seat, but placeth his delight upon God's law and meditates on his law day and night. The Psalm number 1 on the page number 5 of your hymn book, standing as we sing, as the organist leads us, and singing it out with all of our hearts. Well, we just unite our hearts together, please, in prayer. Our loving God, our gracious, eternal Father in heaven, we do gather, Lord, before Thee this Sabbath morning in our Saviour's precious and wonderful and holy name. We thank Thee afresh, O God, today for the one who loved us, the one who came into this world to be our Saviour, the one who died the just for us the unjust, that He might bring us to God. And Father, we thank Thee for the sinless, perfect life of the Lord Jesus Christ, one who kept the law of God perfectly for us, something we ourselves could never do. Yet, O God, we thank Thee that Thou didst speak from heaven. Thou didst say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And we thank Thee, O God, that by trusting Him as Savior, who died for us on the cross, who shed His blood, who rose again victorious, we thank Thee through faith in Him, we have the wonderful joy and assurance of sins forgiven. For Thy word tells us that we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And Father, we thank Thee that through faith in Christ as Savior, we are made accepted in the Beloved. We thank Thee for that robe of spotless righteousness that He affords to the people of God. And Father, we thank Thee, O God, that truly we can say today that Christ is Jehovah Sekenu, the Lord, our righteousness. And Father, we thank that Christ died for us, that He rose again, that He ascended into heaven. And Father, we thank that there, as our great High Priest, He is praying for us. And Father, we thank that he ever lives to make intercession for the people of God. And oh God, as we come to thee today through Christ, we thank that we can call thee Abba, our Father. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for every token of thy favor, thy love, thy kindness, thy goodness, and thy grace toward us. We thank thee for our health, our strength, our freedom, our liberty, our food and raiment, our homes, our families. Oh, every good and every perfect gift that thou dost give to us, we acknowledge, comes from thee, the bountiful God of heaven. Truly, Lord, we must say that it is in thee and thee alone that we live and move and have our being. And Father, we thank thee not only for the temporal and physical mercies of life, but Father, we thank thee for all the spiritual blessings that we find in and through the Lord Jesus Christ and knowing him as Savior. Truly, Lord, we can say with Paul of old that thou hast blessed us with spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we acknowledge today that there are more than can be numbered. We thank that we can rejoice today in pardon for sin and peace, O God, with thee. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, we can rejoice in the great assurance of everlasting life and a home in heaven. And Father, we thank thee for the riches of thy grace and thy mercies and thy compassions, that they fail not, and they are new morning by morning. And truly, Lord, as thy people, we must say, great is thy faithfulness. And we thank thee, O God, today for thy word. We thank thee for the Bible in our mother tongue. We thank thee, O God, for, Lord, all that thou dost say to us in thy word, and how we have been singing of the blessed man who delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Help us, Lord, to cherish thy word, O God. Help us, Lord, to read thy word, O God. Help us, Lord, to meditate upon thy word, O God. And help us, Lord, by thy grace and spirit, to obey and to live out thy word in our lives day by day. We thank thee that in the word of God there's a word for every circumstance, every situation of life. And Lord, help us to love thy word, to cherish thy word, that we might, as it were, as a people, prosper in the ways of the Lord. O Lord, bless our coming together here today. We thank thee for all who have been able to come. We thank thee for every child, every little one with us, and the older folk as well. We thank thee for all who have been able to come. And Lord, we pray that thou would bless every believer, every child of thine. Encourage thy people. Help thy people on to heaven. Strengthen us in our faith. Lead us in the paths of righteousness. Help us, Lord, to die to self, to sin, to, Lord, walk in the ways of the Lord. And then help us, Lord, to serve thee. Help us to witness for thee. And, Lord, by our life and by our testimony, that others too would be spoken to and pointed to the Lord as Savior. For any with us today who may be cold at heart, may be drifting afar from the things of God, Lord, draw them to yourself afresh, even, O God, today. And for any with us, be the old or be the young, and they're not saved, Lord, speak to them. May they realize the brevity of life and the certainty of death and the certainty of eternity, the need to prepare for heaven, to make preparation even now, will have health and strength and the gift of all their faculties. May they turn even today by faith and trust the Lord Jesus Christ, whom to know is life eternal. We pray for those that cannot join with us today because of age and sickness and infirmity. We bring them, Lord, before thee in faith and in prayer. And Lord, thou who art the great physician, lay on thy healing hand, O God, we pray. And for others who mourn and grieve, we pray that thou wilt comfort their hearts. And others maybe who cannot be with us because of other reasons of necessity and mercy, minister to them. And others who may be off on holiday at this time, may they know seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. We thank thee for our Sabbath school. Bless our children, even as they prepare for Children's Day. May they know the help and the blessing of the Lord. Remember the youth fellowship ministry. We pray for the work of Bethel Children's Crusade, the open-air ministry, the telephone ministry, and the door-to-door ministry, and the online ministry as well. We commit all these things to thee. We thank thee for every channel by which the word of God goes forth. And Lord, you have promised that thy word will not return unto thee void. We pray even here in this mission field of Enniskillen and County Fermanagh that that word will find a resting place in many hearts
and in many lives of people from many different backgrounds, and that, Lord, they will be made wise, O God, even unto salvation. Bless our land, O God, today we pray. We pray for all our sister congregations that thou will bless them. And Lord, every faithful servant of God, wherever thy word is faithfully proclaimed, we pray that thou wilt own it and bless it, north and south of the border, and England, Scotland, and Wales. Remember these islands for good. Lord, in former times we knew great mercies from the Lord, yet we confess our sin as a nation, Lord. The things that have come into law and into our society, contrary to thy word and to thy truth. Yet, Lord, we pray that in wrath thou wilt remember mercy. We pray today for our queen. Have mercy upon her and her family. And we do thank thee, Lord, for her long reign. And we pray, O God, that the light of thy truth and the light of the gospel will shine into that household, and that there'll be hearts there turned unto the Lord. Remember, Lord, those in government in our land. We pray that they might turn away from the ways of sin and ungodliness, and that there might be a turning to thy word and to thy truth, and a ruling in accordance with thy word, we ask. Father, we pray, O God, for our missionaries, those that labor here at home and those that labor in many foreign lands. Lord, bless them, encourage them, and strengthen them, we pray. We do pray, Lord, for the Patterson family today in Kenya, that thou would be with them and bless them. Bless Malcolm and his wife Allison, minister to them, keep them in good health and strength, and give them favor, Lord, with the people there. And do bless their ministry and use it even to the furtherance of the kingdom of God. And again, Lord, we bring before thee the land of Ukraine today. Have mercy, Lord, upon that land, we pray. We pray that thou would intervene in mercy. We pray for your people there, that thou will bless them, that thou, Lord, will protect them, that they might even today be able to meet in peace and in safety to worship thee, O God. We pray, Lord, for the turning back of Putin and his forces from that land, we pray. And that, Lord, even in grace and in mercy, there might be peace and stability in that land. We think of the many thousands of people that have left family and loved ones, and Lord, are in need at this time. Meet their needs, we pray. And Father, that even through this, even in that land, there will be many who will turn to the Lord at this time of great need, we ask. Be with us now and bless us as we further praise thy name. We thank thee for the hymns that we have to sing, and help us to sing with a full heart unto the Lord. For you have said that praise is comely for the people of God. Bless us around thy word today. And Lord, above and beyond the voice of the preacher, we pray that the still small voice of God would be heard in many hearts and lives in this congregation today. For we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. We're going to turn again, please, in our hymn book to hymn number 324. 324, a wonderful hymn of testimony. You'll find it on the page 307. I once was a stranger to grace and to God, and knew not my danger and felt not my load. Though friends spoke in rapture of Jesus on the tree, of Christ on the tree, Jehovah Sekenu was nothing to me. 324, the page 307, standing as we sing.
have your Bible with you this morning, would ask you to turn, please, to the book of Numbers, the Old Testament, to the chapter number 32. And we're reading from verse 1 of that chapter, just going down to the end of verse number 15. You'll find the book of Numbers in the early part of the Old Testament. You have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, then the book of Numbers. And we're turning to Numbers chapter 32 and beginning a reading at the verse number 1. Let us hear God's word as we read it together this morning. Numbers chapter 32 and the verse number 1. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jahazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest, and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Ataroth and Dithon, and Jahazar, and Nimra, and Heshbon, and Eliah, and Shebim, and Nebo, and Bemon, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel, is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? Wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up unto the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel, that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he sware, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, and Joshua the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. The Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. And behold, ye are risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men to augment yet the fierce anger of the Lord toward Israel. For if ye turn away from after him, he will yet again leave them in the wilderness, and ye shall destroy all this people. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse number 15, and our prayer is that God will bless this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. I want to welcome everyone this Lord's Day morning to God's house. It's good to see all who have gathered with us today. Young and old alike, we bid you all a very special, a warm word of welcome. Indeed, you are visiting with us. We're delighted to have you with us here today. And our prayer is the Lord will richly bless you around God's word. It's always a privilege to visitors to share in our fellowship. I trust that you'll feel at home and that you'll know the blessing of the Lord with us today around God's word. To those also maybe viewing online, we thank you for joining with us today. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, we pray the Lord will draw near to you and meet you at the very point of your need today through his word. The announcements for the week are as follows. Do you remember, please, the evening prayer meeting tonight at 6:30, just in the room at the rear there. And we'd encourage as many as possible to gather for the season of prayer before the gospel service at 7 o'clock. Do you remember it's a special testimony meeting, a family and friends service, and our brother, Mr. Derek Preston from Seamfield, will be with us. Some 2 years ago, he was very ill through COVID, but the Lord's hand was upon him for good. And he's coming to share with us a word of testimony of the Lord's saving grace and the Lord's preserving and sustaining grace in his life, of what the Lord has done for him, what the Lord means to him. So pray for him as he comes. We encourage you to make it known. There are wee invite cards out there on the table in the porch, and we encourage you to take those and give them out. The family, friends, neighbors, whatever. Even give somebody a wee phone call. Invite them along tonight or bring them along. And the Lord will bless you, and the Lord will make you a blessing even to them. So do remember that, please. Tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m., we hope to re-again commence the outreach around the doors. We've had a wee break for a week or two, but want to take that up again. Do pray for that. And if you're able to join with us, we'll just meet here at the church car park at 2 p.m. tomorrow afternoon. Tuesday evening, 8 p.m., the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. I'd be long to take that meeting. We trust as many as possible will gather for the season of prayer and Bible study on Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. Next, the youth fellowship is now off for the summer season. And then the services next Lord's Day, that's the 5th of June. Sunday school and Bible class at 11 a.m. Morning worship service, 12 noon. We'll be long to bring God's word. Next weekend, as you know, is the Jubilee weekend, marking the Platinum Jubilee of our Queen and her long reign. And we'll be speaking upon that subject next Lord's Day morning, and the Queen's Platinum Jubilee, and what lessons there is for us there, even through that. So do remember that, pray for that, make it known, and all you can to invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's word. And in the evening gospel service in the church here at 7 p.m., and one of our retired ministers, our brother, Reverend Michael Patrick, will be long to preach in the gospel service next Lord's Day evening. Both services preceded by the half hour of prayer, so do remember that. Friday night, the 10th of June at 7:30, is our church barbecue, and the venue is Castle Archdale, a group campsite area, just as you go down the main driveway into Castle Archdale Country Park, and before you come to the fork, there's a wee concrete lane in to the left, and there's an excellent campsite area there for barbecuing. There's a large open barn area, picnic tables and car parking and grass area for children, all whatever. So remember that. That price is at £5 for adults. All children are free. We would ask it on that evening if the ladies could bring maybe just a dozen of tray bakes. So do remember that, ladies. And if you are going, would you please put your name on the sheet as soon as possible? There's quite a goodly number there, but there's room for more. Just put your name, your family name, and if there's any dietary requirements, the number of children and adults. And all the congregation are welcome. You're welcome to bring your friends as well, neighbours, people that you know, invite them along. There'll be games in the evening for the children as well. Reverend Morris Baxter's wife, they'll be doing the barbecue. And really, whatever they raise from these barbecues is really a ministry in their retirement. They use to support the work of the orphanage out there in Nepal in Asia. So do remember that. Children's Day service is on the 19th of June. Morning service, 12 noon. The afternoon service at 3:30, and the children from our Sunday school will be taking part. They've been practicing hard. Pray for that. And the guest speaker is the Reverend Glenn Wilkinson. This coming Saturday, the 4th of June, in our Kilskerry Independent Christian School over in Kilskerry, there's a cake sale and coffee morning from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., and that's in aid of school funds, and you're welcome there to go along. So do remember that. The Vision magazine is available. We encourage you to get a copy as you leave. You'll find good reading there. And then also, Bethel Children's Crusade are having a children's mission here in the church from Monday night, the 27th of June, through to Friday night, the 1st of July, from 6:30 p.m. to 7:45. So do pray for that. Do make it known. And again, if you can help in any way, do speak to our sister, Gillian. Also, the financial report for the year 2020 is available. And again, we, the committee, wants to thank you as a congregation for your giving during that very difficult year when a large part of the time the church was in lockdown. But we thank you for your giving, your faithfulness. We thank also our treasurer, Mr. Raymond Medill, and also the Bethel Children's Crusade treasurer, Mr. John Dean, and also the help that our brother Ian is involved in as well there in compiling that report. Thank all involved. And thank you in the Lord's name for your giving during that difficult year of the pandemic. But do get a copy of the report there. It's out on the table on the porch. That's really all by way of necessary announcements. We're turning again in our hymn book to the hymn number 442. 442. We'll just keep our seats while we sing the opening part of this hymn. Be gone unbelief, my Saviour is near, and for my relief will surely appear. By prayer let me wrestle, and he will perform. With Christ in the vessel, I'll smile at the storm. We'll keep our seats, the opening part of this hymn. We don't take up an offering during the service, but the offering plates are at the rear, so do remember that as you leave. 442. Thank you. verse 7, making it a final verse, verse 7. Turn again, please, to that passage of Scripture we read earlier, to Numbers chapter 32. And with God's Word open before us, let us have a brief word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy presence already with us in our gathering today, the singing of Thy praises, the reading of Thy Word. Lord, as we come now to meditate upon Thy Word for a season, may Thy Word, O God, dwell richly within our hearts, and that through Thy Word, O God, today, that sinners would be made wise unto salvation, that saints would be built up in their most holy faith, and that Christ's name be honored and glorified. To this end, fill this preacher afresh with that Holy Spirit, that power that comes from on high, that double portion of Thy Spirit. Pour out Thy Spirit upon preacher and upon hearer alike, and have Thy way in every heart and life. And do every heart and soul much good today through Thy Word, as Thou alone wouldst see the need. Apply Thy Word by Thy Spirit to our hearts, for we ask it all for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen and amen. Now, the text of Scripture we want to consider today with you is the final statement, really, there of verse number 6 of Numbers chapter 32. It's really a form of a question. And the question is this: shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? Shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? Now, the spirit of this ungodly world is one whereby people live for self and ease and worldly pleasure. However, this is not to be the way of the Lord's people. The Christian is to live for his Savior. You remember the words of Christ to his disciples. He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." And we see this vital truth wonderfully illustrated for us in the chapter before us here today in Numbers chapter 32. At this point in time, Israel are on the verge of the promised land of Canaan. They're on the verge of entering in to that land that God had promised to them. They had wandered in the wilderness for almost 40 years. They had fought many battles. They had faced many trials. Yet still there were more battles to fight and more trials to face before they entered in and before they took the promised land. Now, Numbers chapter 32 tells us of the request of two tribes, the tribe of Reuben and the tribe of Gad. And along with their families and indeed their herds and their stock, they wanted to settle on the eastern side of the river Jordan. And this really meant that the other 10 tribes of Israel would be left to conquer the land of Canaan, which was really primarily mostly on the western side of the river Jordan. These other tribes would be left themselves to conquer the land of Canaan without the aid and without the help and without the assistance of the tribes of Reuben and the tribe of Gad. And in verse 5 of this chapter, we see here how these tribes, they speak of this desire to Moses, who was the leader in Israel at that time. In verse number 5 of Numbers chapter 32, they said, "Wherefore," they said, "if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over the Jordan." They wanted to settle on the eastern side of the river Jordan. They did not want to go over into the west and engage in the conquest of that vast amount of land and the battles that were to be faced and entered into there on the western side of the river Jordan. And we see immediately in the next verse how this request, it prompts a sharp rebuke from Moses, the servant of the Lord. For in verse 6 of the chapter it says, "And Moses said unto the children of Gad,
And to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war? And shall ye sit here? Shall your brethren go to war? And shall ye sit here? He rebukes them for this request of wanting to, as it were, dwell and sit at ease on the eastern side of the River Jordan, rather than going over and helping their brethren, the other tribes on the western side. And people, this morning, it is this same word of rebuke that I want us to consider and to look at today. Indeed, as we would consider these words, may all of us today who are saved in this meeting, by the grace of God, be stirred up with fresh zeal and fresh vigor and indeed fresh enthusiasm to seek first the kingdom of God and to live for the Lord and to live for our Savior in our day and generation. As we would look then at these words of rebuke, there are three things I just want to set before you. Notice first of all that this rebuke, it provoked much consideration amongst God's people. In verse number 6, it says there in our text, shall your brethren go to war? And shall ye sit here? And you see there by those words, by that question in verse 6, the tribe of Gad and the tribe of Reuben, they're made to see that God's people have one common cause together. And you see that from the use of the word brethren that Moses uses. He chooses his words carefully and wisely, for he says, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? And that word brethren emphasizes the fact that the 12 tribes of Israel were all brethren. They were all God's covenant people. By their common cause, what was it under God? It was to conquer the land of Canaan. Thus each tribe relied upon each other. Indeed, the weakening and indeed the strengthening of one tribe would mean also the weakening and the strengthening of the other tribe. The tribes of Israel, they were all individual links that were joined together in the chain of God's plan and the chain of God's providence for Israel to conquer the land of Canaan. And Moses emphasizes this point by reminding them that they were brethren, that they were in one cause, and they were together in God's plan and purpose for the nation of Israel. And people, can I say this morning that the same really applies to you and I who are saved by God's grace? Yes, all as God's saved people, yes, we may come from different backgrounds, different walks in life, but we all have one common interest. And what is that common interest, that common goal? It is the advancement of God's kingdom, the advancement of God's cause here on earth. And child of God, in this meeting house this morning, can I say we all have a part to play in this work, especially here in the Skillen and in this mission field of County Fermanagh that is around us and around our church and the area about. You see, the Bible speaks to you and I as believers and says we are laborers together with God. We have all this one cause. We may be different in our looks. We may come from different backgrounds. We may be different in our ages. Our families may be different and diverse. But we have one common cause, one common goal. It is the advancement of the gospel, the cause of the kingdom of God in this town and in this county. And believe you me, Fermanagh is very much a mission field that needs the gospel and needs the work of God and the word of God to go forth in every part of the county before us. Also, we can say further this morning that by this rebuke that Gad and Reuben were made to see that self-interest is something that hinders God's work. For Moses said, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? Notice that word, sit. Gad and Reuben wanted to sit down. They wanted to take it easy, while the rest of the Israel would take the fight to the Canaanites and would seek to conquer the land. Gad and Reuben didn't want to get involved in this fight. They wanted to sit back and take things, as it were, easy before them. And they no doubt did not want to enter into the fight with the rest of their brethren in taking the land of Canaan, the land of promise. wanted to sit back and just take things easy, to coast along, so to speak. And child of God, can I say this morning, it's the same for you and I also. Whenever we put our own interests of ease before God's work, then we hinder the forwarding of God's work and God's kingdom. And we see this in the day of the prophet Haggai. Turn with me over to the prophecy of Haggai, Haggai chapter number 1. And you'll see this for yourself, how the people there were by and large taken up of their own ease, their own ways. God had to speak to them about it. In Haggai chapter 1 and the verse number 7, it says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." He wanted them to consider their own ways. And what were their ways? Look at verse 9 of the chapter. He says, "Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it." They were taken up of their own things, and they did not prosper. God says he blew upon it. Why? Well, he tells us in the latter part of verse 9, he says, "Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that it is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house." They were taken up of their own things, their own house. Well, the house of God and the things of God were being set, as it were, to the one side. And God sent his servant Haggai, and he says, "Thus saith the Lord, Israel, consider your ways." Child of God, you and I as believers, we must ever have the spirit of the hymn writer who said, "Take the world, but give me Jesus." Also, we can say further here in connection with our text by this word of rebuke, Gad and Reuben were made to see that self-interest would discourage their fellow Israelites. Not only would it discourage their fellow Israelites, but in taking this line of approach of ease, they would actually be sinning against the Lord. You look at what Moses says in verse 7 and verse number 23 of the chapter. In verse 7 he says, "Wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord had given them?" And there Moses reminds them, if they sit back and take it at ease, they would discourage their brethren. Look at verse number 23. He says, "But if ye will not do so," in other words, if you will not go over to the west and fight the Canaanites, he says, "behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." And believer, likewise, if you and I become indifferent to the things of God, then we too will discourage our fellow Christians, because the Bible says that none of us liveth unto himself. And also, if we become careless and indifferent about the cause of Christ and turn away from the work that God wants us to do as believers, then we grieve the Lord by sinning against the Lord as his children. The Bible says, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." And people, the Bible says to you and I as believers, says, "Woe to them that are at ease and Zion." My, it has been said by one of old, we must not seek rest and ease in a world where Christ had none. And the Bible says Christ did not wear to lay his head. He knew no ease in this world in which he came to save and redeem. How we're to take up the yoke of Christ, and we are to follow after the example of Christ. Yes, this rebuke, it provoked much consideration amongst God's people. But you'll see in the second place that this rebuke had prompted a united effort among God's people. This rebuke here in verse number 6, it prompted Gad and Reuben to help. They listened, they took the rebuke well from Moses, and it prompted them to help the rest of Israel conquer the promised land. They did not sit back and say, "Well, Moses, we're not listening to you. Forget about that rebuke. We're going to do our own thing." No, they listened to the word of God as a message for them, and they responded positively by going to help and uniting an effort with their fellow Israelites in conquering the land of Canaan. You look at their resolve in verse 17 and verse 18 of the chapter. They said, "But we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them unto their place. And our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance."
May it prompted a wise response to this rebuke from the people of Gad and the people of Reuben. And they resolve here to help their brethren. And child of God, can I say to you in the meeting this morning, when you and I are saved, we also have a responsibility before the Lord to give ourselves to God's cause, to give ourselves to God's work. The psalmist says we are to serve the Lord with gladness. This is something we're to do with gladness, serving the Lord. And our daily life, believer, God wants you and I to serve Him, to be a witness for Him. He says, ye shall be witnesses unto me. Now, during the World War I, there were many army recruiting posters around the nation with the words, we need you. Well, Christian, can I say to you in the meeting this morning that you and your talents are needed in God's work here in this part of God's vineyard, here in our labors for God? Child of God, can I say, in the light of Calvary, in the light of all that God has done for you in Christ, believer, in saving you and forgiving your sins and giving you a home in heaven, believer in Christ, may your response be like that of Isaac Watts of old, the hymn writer, who said, but drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. As they thought of Christ, as they thought of what the Lord had done for them, they said, Lord, 'tis all I can do, but give myself all away to Thee, to Thy work, to Thy service, to Thy cause. Also, we see here that this rebuke, it is important to say that as well as promoting effort, that this effort on the part of Gad and Reuben, it meant sacrifice on their behalf. Look again at verse 18, verse 26, verse 27. They said, we will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. You see there was that separation from kith and kin. Verse 26, verse 27, our little ones, our wives, our flocks, and all our cattle shall be there in the cities of Gilead, but thy servants will pass over. Notice that every man armed for war, they were ready for battle. Before the Lord to battle, it says, as my Lord saith. Now we see here that there was a giving of their time. No doubt there was blood, there was tears, there was separation from loved ones, family and friends, those that were dear to them. All this was involved here in helping their fellow Israelites conquer the promised land. There was sacrifice involved here on their behalf. You think back to the day of Elijah. You read of a fellow believer in the day of Elijah by the name of Obadiah. And he spoke to Elijah of old. And this is what he said to Elijah. He says, I, thy servant, fear the Lord, he says, from my youth. He says, from my youth I have feared the Lord. In other words, he gave the very best years of his life to the Lord and to the service of the Lord. Young people in our meeting this morning, I put the challenge to you who know and love the Lord as Savior. Young people, give the best years of your life to the Lord, to the Lord's work, to the Lord's cause, to the Lord's kingdom, and you will find the Lord no man's debtor. Oh yes, the work of God involves sacrifice. Child of God, yes, the Lord's work means you and I giving of our time, giving of our energy, giving of our substance, our gifts, our talents, our abilities to the work of God, whatever they are. It means, yes, making time for God's house in the Lord's Day morning. Making time, yes, for the Lord's Day house and the Lord's Day evening. Making time for the house of God at the midweek prayer meeting and other things that are involved in God's work. Yes, God's work, people, it involves sacrifice. It involves time. It involves energy. You remember what David said in 2 Samuel 24. He says, neither will I offer unto the Lord my God that which cost me nothing. He knew that God's work involved sacrifice. David knew that the Lord's work involved sacrifice, cost, and people, it's still the same today. Also, it's important here to note that this effort on the part of Gad and Reuben, it was completed. It was finished. They kept their word in helping their brethren. Turn over to Joshua chapter 22. They didn't start and then give up. No, but they continued right to the end. Joshua chapter 22, and look at what is said there about Gad and Manasseh regarding this and the conquering of the land on the western side of the River Jordan. Joshua chapter 22, verses 1, 2, and 3, it says, "Then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and said unto them," notice it, "ye have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. You have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God." In other words, they stayed and they thought alongside their fellow Israelites, their fellow brethren, until the land of Canaan was conquered. The land of Canaan was subdued under God. They were faithful to the end. Till all that was promised to them, what was given to the tribes of Israel. And people of God, let us follow their example. Child of God, as long as you and I have breath in our bodies, as long as we have health and strength, as Christians, you and I are to be steadfast, the Bible says, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Indeed, the Lord says to you and I as believers, says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Yes, this rebuke, it provoked consideration. It provoked a united effort by Gad and by Reuben. But notice one final thought here, this rebuke from Moses, it led to great blessing. It led to great blessing. You see, in going to battle against the Canaanites, Gad and Reuben, they had the promise of the Lord's victory. And then the promise of the Lord's presence with them. You go back there to Numbers chapter 32 and verse 20 and verse 21, you'll see that. It says, "And Moses said unto them, if ye will do this thing, if ye will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord," notice it, "until he have driven out his enemies from before them." There's the promise of the Lord being with them in the battle, and the promise of the Lord giving them victory over the enemy, over the Canaanites. And they knew this blessing by going forward with their brethren. The promise of the Lord's victory, the promise of the Lord's presence and blessing upon them. And child of God, let me encourage you in the meeting this morning that whenever you serve the Lord, whatever it is, whatever you seek to do for the Lord, and whenever you seek to do as well, believer in Christ, whether you're saved a long time, whether you're saved recently, you have the promise of the Lord's help. You have the promise of the Lord's presence and the Lord's blessing. That's God's promise to His children. His promises cannot fail. You turn over to Joshua chapter number 1 and you'll see this for yourself. Joshua chapter 1. Look with me there at verse 5 and verse number 9 of the chapter. And here God was speaking to Joshua. And this applies to every believer in Christ. Joshua chapter 1 verse 5 and verse 6. "There shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses," here the Lord is speaking to Joshua, "as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Verse 9, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." And Gad and Reuben, they had that promise of the Lord's presence. That promise of the Lord's victory. And child of God, whenever you seek to do something for the Lord, whatever it is, you too have the promise of the Lord's help. You have the promise of the Lord's presence. And He says, "I am with you always. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Also, we see something else here in going to battle against the Canaanites. Gad and Reuben had a conscience that was void of offense toward God and toward Israel. Look at verse 22 there of Numbers chapter 32. And says here, "And the land be subdued before the Lord. Then afterward," it says, "ye shall return," notice it, "and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel." Notice that word, guiltless. And by taking up this cause, by taking up this battle, Gad and Reuben had a conscience void of offense. They were guiltless before the Lord and before Israel. And people of God, when we also give ourselves to the Lord, to His work, His cause, and His kingdom, we too shall be guiltless. In other words, we will have no regrets at the end of life's journey. We'll not be able, not have to say with the hymn writer, I wish I had given Him more. People, can I say to you this morning, and serving the Lord to the best of your ability, my, you will surely know, the Bible says, the peace of God, that pass of all understanding, my, will not have to end our life with regrets and say, Lord, I wish I'd given you more. Christian, give yourself to the Lord. Spend and be spent for Christ. You'll notice something else here in going to a battle against the Canaanites, that Gad and Reuben, they received a great inheritance themselves. Look at the latter part there of verse number 22 of Numbers chapter 32. It says, and this land, notice it, shall be your possession before the Lord. They entered into the land of promise that was before them. They took part of that inheritance from themselves. It was given to them by the Lord. Brethren and sisters in Christ, the Lord says, them that honor me, he says, I will honor. The hymn writer could testify and could say, all I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. They knew the Lord's provision, the Lord's faithfulness, the Lord's goodness toward them. A believer in Christ in the meeting this morning, put the Lord first. Put His work first in your life, and God will abundantly meet your need. The Lord is no man's debtor. That's His promise, and His promise that cannot fail. You turn with me in your Bible over to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. Look at the great promise there at the end of that chapter and the verse number 19. Here Paul was writing to believers who had put the Lord first and foremost in their life and the things of God. And notice the promise he gives. He says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Believer, step out for God. Live for God. Live for Christ. Don't let the devil or the world deter you from serving the Lord or hold you back from serving the Lord. Go forward in faith. You have the promise of the Lord's presence. You have the promise of the Lord's help. Having the Lord, you have all things, for the Lord is altogether sufficient. The Lord will bless you. The Lord will be with you. The Lord will meet your every need. Brethren and sisters in Christ, let us so live to prove that great promise in our life. You think of our text this morning, it says, shall your brethren go to war? Shall ye, sit here, speaks there of brethren going to war. Think of that in the context of the Christian church and the Christian warfare. Let us be those who go to war for Christ against sin, against Satan. Let us be those who seek to battle for the Lord and the seeking to win souls to Christ and point souls to the Savior. This is the all-important matter. For only what is done for Christ is that which will last for time and for all eternity. And if you're here today and you're not saved, let me say this, dear friend, if you're to serve the Lord on earth, if you're to serve with the saints in glory, now in time you must come as a sinner to Christ. Put your faith and your trust in Him. Repent of your sin. Call upon Him for mercy. The Bible says, but as many as received Him, to them give He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Call upon Christ. Ask Him to save you and cleanse you from sin. He'll forgive your sins. He'll save your soul. He'll be with you in life. He will equip you. He will enable you to serve the Lord and to live for Him and to be a witness for Him until the Lord Jesus Christ comes or until He calls you home to glory. We're going to close our meeting this morning by singing together the hymn number 537 in your hymn book, 537 on the page 392. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? Shall I fear to own His cause or blush to speak His name? In the name, the precious name of Him who died for me, Through grace I'll win the promised crown, whate'er my cross may be. 537 standing as we sing.
Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy presence. Bless Your word to our hearts and to our souls. Help us, Lord, as Thy people to seek first Thy kingdom, to serve Thee, Lord, and to live for Thee and to be a witness for Thee by Thy grace and by Thy power, even in this ungodly world. And Lord, for any in our gathering today who know not the Lord as Savior, speak to them. And even, Lord, before this meeting is over, may they close in with Christ and trust Him as their own and personal Savior. Take us to our homes in safety. Bless us throughout this, Thy day. Return us again in Thy will this evening hour. Bless the testimony meeting and Thy servant who will come to testify. For we ask it all in the Lord's great name. Amen. Amen.